Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family, I thank the Lord He warned us ahead of time 2,000 years ago that our greatest enemies would be those in our own family and household. Pardon me. And that people in our family, He warned us that a prophet is not without honor save among his own kinfolk and family. It is a demonic thing. The devil wants it that way. Always remember, my dear friends, that the devil goes for the jugular every time. He wants to see an explosion of blood. The devil plays for keeps. You might be playing a game, but he's not playing a game. You might be smiling and grinning, but he's not. You mark my words, he goes for the jugular every time. The jugular vein. And to the standing between the living and the dead family, prayer, devotional, memorial, evangelistic, service family. You've been with me a long time. We are approaching 500 services. We're doing it a little bit differently from the way we started. But the job is being done for the glory of God. And I thank God for your faithfulness to the Word of God. Now, I don't know exactly what's going to happen going forward regarding this service. I'm just going to follow the leadership of the Lord. Technically, this service is supposed to end today, because I'm going into a different phase due to the fact that it has been predicted by health officials over 100,000 souls will go out into eternity. And most preachers are not going to try to reach them. They don't see the vision for it. Some don't believe that there is a hell. Some believe that falsely that we're just going to die off and never be heard from again. But that is not the case. People who die unsaved will go to an awful place called hell, and will avoid and will not go to heaven. It just so happens to be the day that I was physically born, September the 15th, 1960. And I have done this run of preaching the gospel for 100 days through Christmas. It is a harrowing journey. And from what I understand, I will have some more preachers preaching alongside me around the world. And some will start out with us. Some will join us later. But we must do the what Paul called the foolishness of preaching. But it is the power of God unto salvation, the gospel. And Lord, I know that lost souls will get saved if they hear the gospel in the power of His Holy Spirit. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I thank God for you. I'll let you know which way we're going to go on the standing between the living and the dead service. But I am getting older now. Technically, I should not be preaching for another 100 days. But I cannot, as an evangelist, I cannot, and where God has given me the vision for this, and I've done it so much in the past by the grace of God, and people are dying and going to hell, and we know it. I'm asking God for supernatural energy and strength to proclaim the word of God. And if I perish, I perish. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, count yourself, I don't care what you're going through, count yourself blessed to be alive, because in 2 weeks, this country called America will surpass the 1918, I think it was, plague pandemic in number of deaths. And so welcome to this service, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family. And especially to the standing between the living and the dead prayer, devotional, memorial, evangelistic service family members. I thank God for you being on this journey with me. And making a simple podcast and a series of podcasts that we put together into one service, and then individually you have made, even though quite honestly we do some podcasts that you would think would be more exciting for people to listen to. They have a little edge to them, but the faithful few, the remnant, you have blessed my heart, surprised my heart. You didn't surprise God, but you made this podcast overall and the ones that make up this one podcast individually the top 1, 2, and 3, and 4 podcasts that we do, which is almost 50 different podcasts that we do. And so it's been a great run and a great journey. I don't know exactly how things are going to go going forward regarding this service, because today is September the 15th. Which happens to be my birthday. It just so happens to be the day that we commence another 100 days of preaching the gospel. The need is great. I am not, physically speaking, I'm in good health, but I am getting older. I thought I was 62. My wife told me that I'm only 61. So that ought to tell you that I'm getting older right now. I don't even know my own age. That ought to tell you something right there. When you get so old, you don't even remember your own age on your birthday. Buddy, I think there's something going on. Yeah. So I don't know, folks. But I do notice some things. I do notice some things, I tell you. I do notice some things regarding old age, getting old. It's something. It is something. I think old people, you know, as they get older, they want to deny that they're not having, you know, they're having some mental, not mental, but memory issues. But they are, and fighting against that is really a trip. But anyway, it's not about my birthday. What this is about, really, it just so happened to be my birthday that we start preaching the gospel on a daily basis. Now, I preach the gospel multiple times a week, but at certain times I have preached the gospel every day, which is a very powerful thing. Because, see, the power is not in the man. The power is in the gospel. That's what Dr. Billy Graham told us as well. You get the gospel to the people, and the gospel will do the job under God's power. It's not in you. It's not in the man. It's not in the method. And this is why I'm calling on 1,000 preachers. I hope that they all go with me on the journey all the way through. But if I have to go alone, I'll do that. And those who can't make it the whole journey, I pray that they'll catch up with me and join me down the road. Because it is the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And the foolishness of preaching is the vehicle to get the job done. We have lost a lot in the church today. We have lost the central power of the church, and that is the preaching of the gospel. It's a powerful thing, but we would rather do a blog post and tweet somebody and all of that. And read somebody's blog, and oh, I find that interesting. And you don't do, and neither the blogger nor the reader do anything worthwhile. As for serving the Lord, I was very pleased when I heard a prominent pastor say the other day, and this is something I have believed for so many years. I get so tickled that people talk about, well, we need to dialogue about it. We need to get together and talk about it. And he ran back and said, you know, really, I don't want to dialogue about it. You know, it's what you do. What is going to be the outcome of this? And there are a group of people in the world and in the church who always want to dialogue. They sit around with little, they call it all kinds of different things, symposiums, conference, and so forth. And they sit around in a semicircle, and they talk about something close to nothing, and they do not move the ball down the road. They don't move the ball towards the goal line. And my dear friends, these things are not so to be. So, this is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House Daily Reading of the Chronological Bible, episode number 292. Where I simply read the Holy Bible in the King James Version each day in chronological order. This unique viewpoint allows us to read the whole Bible as a single true story, of course, and to see the unfolding of God's plan in history. Today, we are reading 1 Samuel chapter 8. Now, as I was saying to you, my beloved, I don't know how the Lord is going to lead me with the standing between the living and the dead service. I do know many of you want me to continue with that. But as I said, I am getting older. And if you are a preacher, you know what I'm talking about. If you truly preach and preach the Word of God, it is extremely draining. And that's not whining or complaining. That's what any preacher will tell you. It is something. It is extremely draining. And I know a man who's a descendant of the Mandingos. I mean, he's hard as a rock. Old man. He's about 80-something now. Going on 90. And natural muscles can outrun me. And he's 20-something years old, and it's a shame. I hate to admit it. But the man proved it one day. We were preaching and having a meeting in Warner Robins, Georgia. And we had to both go to the store, go to the mall there, right off the highway. And it started sprinkling. And we were talking about how that I could beat him running and he could beat me running and all that kind of thing. And it just so happened we got to the parking lot. We parked way out there. And, I mean, listen to me. There's some people who, because of their lineage, they are just built for football and stuff like that. He's one of them. And I thought because he was 20 years older than me, I could beat him easily. Because I used to run track and all of that. Well, he beat me, to make a long story short. And he loves to tell that story. And I hate to hear it. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, starting today, I'll be preaching the gospel. And within an hour, by the grace of God, if the Lord should tarry his coming and we live, we'll be preaching the first day. And we're doing that because they say if you want to preach to a live audience around the world, the best time to do it for us is around 7:30. So bear with us as we get into this. It's really actually 7:30 to 8:30 is the window. So that's where we'll be. And so tell your family, tell your friends, tell your enemies, but especially tell the lost to tune in. Because as you know, by the grace of God, God called me to be an evangelist. And I have no problem preaching the gospel to people, none. And I, as you know, will make it plain. All right. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I praise you and I thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. Your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word, and I thank you, Lord, that if I know myself, that I do not take any of those things for granted. And when I pray it, I mean it. By your grace. And I praise you and I thank you for the millions and manifold and many blessings you have bestowed upon us. I praise you for salvation and spiritual, family and life, financial and material, protection and provision, mental and physical blessings as well, that you have bestowed upon us down through the years. Today is a blessing. Today is a blessing. Yes, the devil has attacked. The devil is attacking. And Lord, we pray and we thank you that we're not ignorant of his wicked devices. And even though it is a little bit placid right now, we know that the devil will make it unplacid as soon as he can when somebody drops his or her guard. So, Lord, I do pray for all of these blessings you've bestowed upon us. And, Lord, help us all to individually to be honest, to confess our sins, our failures, and our faults. Lying, dishonesty, deceit, pride, stubbornness, rebelliousness, bad attitudes, and bad spirits. Lord, I marvel at how you created beautiful creatures, but we mar ourselves and we make ourselves ugly through sin, and sometimes we don't even know it. We don't see the ugliness. Other people do. You can look at a person and tell if they're corrupt if you have some discernment so from you. And so, Lord, have mercy and grace upon us. And please forgive us of our sins, our failures, and our faults. Crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us. And fill us today with the fullness and the power of your Holy Spirit on this special day of commencing the preaching of the gospel. Lay upon my heart and give me the message you would have me to preach regarding the gospel. Save those who are lost and transform their lives. Open blinded eyes, unstop deaf ears. And Holy Father God, I pray that you will give us the power of your Holy Spirit, your unction and your anointing, to read your holy word once again. Lord, make it real to us once again. Speak to our hearts once again. Help us to see the underlying principles and your amazing sovereignty, how you patiently work things out in your own time. This is all magnificent and marvelous to our eyes. And Lord, I do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, today, that you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias, Lord, out of the hearts, minds, souls, and spirits of people here. Lord, some even in my family, Lord, cast out these demon spirits that are hell-bent and prone to wander away from you and your holy word, and hell-bent and prone to try to hinder your work, to try to hinder your gospel from being preached. Lord, I pray that you would cast out the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias. And Lord, cast out the demonic sins of prowlessness and pride and stubbornness and rebelliousness, arrogancy, bad attitudes and bad spirits, hatred, bitterness and resentment out of the lives of the people here who have that problem, and give everybody sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil, not only right now, not only this morning, but throughout this day. And Lord, I do pray that even though parties will be had, and we will have three basically joined parties for today. But Lord, help us to be sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful during the party so that we can have a wonderful afterglow and a peaceful afternoon, morning, afternoon, and evening. Holy Father God, lay upon my heart the message and the words that you'll have me to preach as we commence this campaign. We pray, Lord, that you would save those who are lost, revive those, Lord, who are saved. And Lord, I do pray that you will give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil, and do everything that is within us to get along with those around us to serve you well. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would deliver each and every one of us from temptation, evil, and sin. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, live right, think right, and do right. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Help us to submit to you, love you back, and obey you, and be faithful to you. And for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And Lord, we pray that you'll help all of us to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek your face, and to turn from our wicked ways, and to repent. And Holy Father, God bless and anoint the service to follow. And Lord, I do pray that you'll help us to get back to you, our first love. And Lord, so many people do not want to do that because it requires repenting and turning from their evil that they're planning on doing, hoping to do, even in the midst of a plague. God, have mercy and grace upon us all, and deliver us from evil, and give us a heart that hates evil in our own lives, and is more concerned about justice being done, and your holy name glorified. And Lord, I do pray for the salvation of the lost, for the revival of the saved, for the healing of the sick, for the comfort of the grieving. Lord, we pray that you do this in our individual families, our churches, our communities, in this country and around the globe. And Holy Father God, I do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would deliver us from all of our distresses and afflictions, cares and worries and anxieties, troubles, problems and fears. Fill us with your peace and joy. Place, Lord, upon us the whole armor of God. Surround us with the band of your holy angels and a wall of your holy fire. And Holy Father God, I do pray that you would deliver us tonight from tribulations and troubles, or rather this morning, from tribulations and troubles and trials and temptations and tests and tensions. Give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And Lord God in heaven, I do pray that you would bless and protect our family, and do the same for all other families that name the name of Christ. Protect our family from ourselves, from our flesh, and from the devil, and from the demons of hell, and from evil people in the family, evil people in the church, and evil people in the world as well. In Jesus Christ's name, I do pray. Lord, help me to do this podcast episode well for your glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure to read in your hearing the Word of God, thus saith the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 8. And it came to pass when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes, and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together, and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, Go ye every man unto his city. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for blessing me to read your holy word and to understand it, to teach it to others. And Lord God in heaven, I pray for the salvation of the lost. Help them to hear and understand the gospel as they hear it right now in this podcast. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and yes, on my birthday, today happens to be my physical birthday, I am so pleased and so glad that I have my family surrounding me for prayer and reading, and the reading of the Bible. And this is a significant day, not because of my birthday. It's also my youngest son's birthday. He turns 20. My youngest daughter's birthday, she turns 18. And so my baby daughter is 18 years old. Glory be to God. They all are college students already. We started all of our children 1 to 2 years than the average bear, the average person. And so my daughter Dani graduated with a double major. I believe she was like 21 and or 20, maybe rather than 20. She has 4 degrees now. She's working on her PhD. My oldest son, Daniel the Fourth, graduated with his bachelor's degree in IT and technology. My second oldest daughter, Danita, has graduated with a bachelor's degree in religion and ministry, and also a business degree. She's the only business graduate in our family. And so she's in the business world. My daughter, Dani, is both of them in ministry first and foremost, serving the Lord. And they're using education for that, and also in the business world. And my daughter Danae, she has graduated with a pre-law degree and is pursuing her law degree. And my daughter Daniqua is still going through, and my son Daniel Zeke is still going through, my daughter Danielle is still going through. And so, but it's a joy to have them around me as they go through the vicissitudes of life, to hear the word, the stabilizing, anchoring, powerful word of God on a daily basis. And I want to encourage you, my dear friends, not to take that for granted. The word of God is something special. It will weigh you down throughout the day. While others are being tossed to and fro, it's like you have an anchor for your soul. So, beloved, this is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, a worldwide evangelistic ministry. And speaking of that, the significance of this day is that we've done this many times in the past, and we're going to do it again, because the need is so great. I'm not saying that I am 100% rested, but when you know people are dying over 1,000 a day, and you have the means to witness to them and preach to them the gospel, it's just evil not to do so. I've already done it for over 500 days, and then I did it a total of 600 days. I did a 100-day run. I can't remember the exact year, but it was a while back, probably about 15, 16 years ago. And so a total of 600 straight, many, many thousands of days. Of preaching the gospel otherwise, but straight. And there's a power to that. And so I'm encouraging 1,000 pastors, preachers, evangelists to get behind their sacred desk at the church, at their office, in the pulpit, in a Sunday school class, at home, and proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be amazed at what God will do with it. Your job is just to preach. I guarantee you can go out into a forest and preach the gospel and somebody gets saved. I guarantee it. There's power in the gospel. So I'll be preaching here shortly. Hopefully within the next 25 minutes or so. So let me move on. Make sure you tell your friends and family, and especially those who are lost. Do not send me a whole bunch of religious people. They're just going to get mad at me and try to crucify me. So, as they did our Lord, today, we are with the White House Family Devotional. We are doing the White House Family Devotional reading of Dr. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers. And we're using his classic book titled Morning and Evening. This is the podcast, and this is the episode number 497, or should I say, this is episode number 497. Today, our passage, our devotional passage, chosen by the Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, is Psalm 120, verse 5. Woe is me that I sojourn in Mesech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. As a Christian, you have to live in the midst of an ungodly world, and it is of little use for you to cry, woe is me. Jesus did not pray that you should be taken out of the world, and what he did not pray for, you need not desire. Amen. Better far in the Lord's strength to meet the difficulty and glorify him in it. The enemy is ever on the watch to detect inconsistency in your conduct. Did you get that? Let me say that to you again, because you need to get that right there, because this is so true. Better far in the Lord's strength to meet the difficulty and glorify him in it. The enemy is ever on the watch to detect inconsistency, that is, hypocrisy, phoniness, insincerity in your conduct and in your behavior. Behavior is important in God's sight, by the way. It's not just your praying and your reading the Bible and getting yourself in a holy posture and raising up your unholy hands that just took off somebody's behind. No. And God is watching you, and the enemy is watching you. Be therefore very holy. Go ahead, Spurgeon. Remember that the eyes of all are upon you, and that more is expected from you than from other men. Amen. Glory be to God. Go ahead, Spurgeon. Strive to give no occasion for blame. Let your goodness be the only fault they can discover in you. Oh, yes. Yes. And I've told my wife this for years. My wife is my greatest enemy, believe it or not. She's supposed to be my greatest help. But she chose to follow Belial and not be a blessing as she could have been. However, God uses things like that, the thorns in the flesh, to make us better servants. And so, for me, it's been a good thing. I would have never done as much as I've done for the Lord if she was not a thorn in the flesh. But when the devil uses her to try to attack me, I've told her for 33 years, I said, you know, have you noticed the only way you can attack me, thinking that you're getting back at me for something that's in your mind, is you attack the ministry. You have nothing to attack me on. And I've told her that for years. And so that's a badge of honor when people cannot, like Daniel, they're your enemies, they act like they hate you, and they can't tag you with anything, so they try to hinder the ministry that you are attached to, and they want to try to get back at you by trying to hurt your ministry and what you love and what God has called you to do. See, and always be that way. Don't give them anything to tag you with, especially hypocrisy, phoniness, lies, dishonesty, and all of that. So I know it's hard for you people to believe because y'all lie so much, you believe the lies yourself. But I have never lied to my wife. She'll tell you that. I've never lied to my wife about anything. I don't believe that it should be in a Christian to be able to lie. God cannot lie. Jesus cannot lie. Why are we lying? For what? What kind of marriage do you have? You got to lie to each other. If you stole the cashews, you stole the pistachios, or something, or a pill that does not belong to you, or whatever, just admit it. Tell the truth. You can't be husband and wife, and you got lies between your soul and your spouse's soul. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. Oh, I wish I can sing that song. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. And there shouldn't be nothing between you and your spouse, my friends. Nothing. If you got to lie to your spouse, you have nothing. You don't have a marriage, my beloved. You know, I don't know what you have, but it's not a marriage. Because one of the beautiful things about marriage is you can be completely naked spiritually, mentally, emotionally sane. Once you're that way, see, this is what you don't understand about love and romance. Once you are vulnerable and you are open and you're free and you're honest, you can tell your spouse the truth. Then you got something going. You don't have anything going if you feel like you can't tell the truth. And the sex is not going to be as naked as it should be. See? Because once you are naked spiritually, mentally, emotionally, then getting naked physically is just the next step. That's why I tell pastors and pastors' wives and people in the church who pass as ships in the night with their big rotund selves, and they got to squeeze by each other, talking about, don't touch me. How can I not touch you, you rotund devil, you? Both of you weigh 300 pounds. You need to stop judging each other and criticizing each other and lying to each other, and spend some time exercising and pushing away, do some pushaways from that table, because it shows your misery, how that you are getting fatter and fatter and fatter, and so forth. But anyway, I do not digress. I'm straight on point. Anyway, let your goodness be the only fault they can discover in you. I mean that thing. Spurgeon meant it too. Yes. Yes. The only thing they can get you on is your good works for the Lord. And they mad as the devil. Why were they mad at Daniel? For nothing. The man just prayed 3 times a day. He wasn't going to stop. He knew where his power was coming from. He knew where his bread was buttered. Y'all do what y'all want to do, but I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray in the same way I've been praying. See, that's what they want you to do. They want you to stop doing what you do for the Lord. That's what they want you to do. They're Sanballat and a Tobias. You remember Sanballat and Tobias? Come down, man. Let's talk. Let's dialogue. If anybody tell you to come, let's dialogue, here's what you say. I'm doing a great work and I can't come down. That's what you need to say. Later for that dialogue foolishness. Dialogue about what? And what? What? What's going to come out of it? Nothing. Listen to me. All of these so-called dialogues, and Tavis Smiley was big on dialoguing, and that's why I guess he's out of the business now. Dialoguing and getting nowhere, doing nothing, solving nothing. That's what dialoguers do. They talk and they don't do anything. Let your goodness be the only fault they can discover in you, like Daniel. Compelled. I didn't even know he was going to mention Daniel. God gave it to me in my heart. Like Daniel, compel them to say of you, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Glory be to God. Seek to be useful as well as consistent. Amen. Perhaps you think, if I were in a more favorable position, I might serve the Lord's cause. See, you're not thinking right. If I was not in this environment, and I was in a hypocritical, lying, whorish, rebellious, compromising environment, I would do more for the Lord. No, you're going to be happier because you want to sin like the rest of those devils. You're going to enjoy the sin and the looseness, not be what you should be, and enjoy complete obedience to God. But I cannot do any good where I am. Why not? Because you don't want to. See, one of the big things that I love about God and Christianity is that once you're truly saved, you have the power to do what you know you should do. That's what I love about Christianity. God will tell you what to do, and he expects you to do it, and he'll give you the power to do it if you step out by faith and do it. About the worst, the people But the worse the people are among whom you live, the more need have they of your exertions. Stay put. Somebody said, light a candle where you are. You be the light. You know why some of you don't turn out to be the light that God wants you to be, that Jesus wants you to be? Because you're around a bunch of darkness. And you follow them instead of following Jesus, the light of the world. It's not because you're around the dark. It's because you follow them. You want to be buddy-buddy with them. They're your peers. You want to delve into their darkness with them, into their evil talk with them, into their witchcraft laughter with them. You don't want to be ostracized. You want to be a buddy-buddy. In order to do that, you got to be evil like them. If they be crooked, the more necessity that you should set them straight. And if they be perverse, the more need have you to turn their proud hearts to the truth and to Jesus and to God. Where should the physician be but where there are many sick? By the way, where are all of the faith healers at today? Doggone it. Don't get me started here. It's too early in the morning. Where are all the faith healers at? Where are they? Oh, we got thousands who are dying a day. Where are the faith healers? I can't hear nobody. I can't hear nobody. Well, all the charismatic faith healers, I declare this, I demand this, and I have the authority over the devil. Devil, take this COVID-19 out of here. Some of these people have said this 1,000 times, and the COVID has gotten worse. They won't listen to a true prophet because they don't want to hear that. We got not only the world in denial, but we got Christian people in denial. You know why? Because these people, they have their own agenda and what they want to do. And doggone it, they determined to try to do it. It's not God's vision anymore, it's their vision. Their vision is dying and they don't want to let it die. All pastors should have kept people out of the church building since the get-go of this plague pandemic. But no. Oh, my vision is dying. Oh, man, my vision says we must have services every day to keep some money coming in and some modicum of control over the people. Plus I need them to come and shake my hand and hug my neck. because I feel lonely and I thrive off of the people. I mean, you should be thriving off of God. Where should the physician be but where there are many sick? Where is honor to be won by the soldier but in the hottest fire of the battle? And when weary of the strife and sin that meets you on every hand, consider that all of these saints have endured the same trial. The same trial. They were not carried on beds. Of ease to heaven, and you must not expect to travel more easily than they. They had to hazard their lives unto the death in the high places of the field, and you will not be crowned till you also have endured hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead, Spurgeon. I hear you. Amen. Therefore, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for what you have done with us and through us and by your holy word to us this morning. Help us to walk in it. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. Help us to pray without ceasing throughout this day. Now, Lord, help us to continue in the spirit of the standing between the living and the dead service by reading your holy word regarding the family. Ephesians chapter 5 and 6. I have dubbed it, Lord, as you know, the family verses. Many people, Lord, as you know, do not want to read the family verses because it is very convicting. And this is what the old saints used to say when the preachers started preaching on this kind of stuff. You meddling now. Get out my family. And other such foolishness. Now, today, I'm supposed to read 10 verses, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stick with just a few verses today, and because I have to preach here in a few minutes. And so let's read. We're at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. May I lovingly encourage you to do that today. Be strong in the Lord, man. Stop being flimsy and weak and tossed about with every wind of doctrine. Choose to be strong in the Lord. And one thing that I have taught my wife and I've taught my children is that you got to get to the point where you understand that you're going to be held responsible by God for your behavior and your actions. So therefore, you better find a way, with God's help preferably, to choose your behavior and choose to do the right thing. See? Choose to be obedient. I heard the other day some famous coach gave some wise words to another coach, to a quarterback. No, it was another quarterback who gave some wise words to, I think his name is Jameis, out of New Orleans. Now, he had a great day the other day, probably because of this old quarterback. He said, "You focus on doing right. You focus on doing what you're supposed to do. And everything else will work out. Don't worry about anything else, anybody else." That's great advice, my dear friends. In our case, we ought to focus on the Lord and depend upon the Lord. So I've taught my family that principle, that you got to focus on the minutia of doing right, down to the little things, and then everything else will turn out right. You must do that. This flimsy, weak mess of I'm here today and the devil can take me every which way and make me to be a problem and a pain and the behind and everything else and oh well. No. You got to get control of yourself. See, because when you get to this point, it doesn't matter how you feel or what you want to do or what you think. Your main goal is to do what's right. Because you understand that if you do what's right, you can avoid chastisement, you can avoid rebuke from the Lord or from the authority over you, and things will turn out right for you. When you do right down to the cellular level, everything else is going to work out fine. It may not always be easy. In fact, doing right is not easy. But if you fight through, in the phrase I use, if you check yourself, the phrase that God would use is judge yourself that you be not judged. I don't like being judged. I don't like being chastised. I don't like people telling me what to do. I'd rather just do it on my own, and that way I can avoid all of that. And that's what I've taught my wife and my children, and I've taught other people as well. All right. God bless you, my dear friends. Let's do another thing that we always do. And that's just one verse, Lord willing, if the Lord tarries is coming and we live. I will deal with the next verse and a few other verses tomorrow. Let's pray for others. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, today that you would have mercy and grace upon those of us who claim to be Christians. Have mercy and grace upon us and forgive us of our wicked sins, of disobeying your great commandment and your great commission. Lord God in heaven, I pray that you'll help us who name the name of Christ to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face. And to turn from our wicked ways and to repent and to get back to you, our first love. Holy Father God, we pray for the salvation of the lost, for the revival of the saved, for the healing of the sick according to your will, and for the comfort of the grieving and the mourning. Draw them to yourself for salvation as well. And Lord, we pray that you would make this to happen and answer this prayer request in our personal lives, our families, our churches, our communities, this country, and around the globe. And Holy Father God, I pray, Lord, today for everybody who is in the ministry of government, from the president on down and around the world. Lord, we pray for the salvation of these lost people. Revive those who are saved. Cast the devil and the demons of hell out of these people. Lord, speak to their hearts and turn their wicked hearts to do what is right so that we can lead peaceful lives. Lord, let your will be done and not our will be done. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And Lord, we pray for those who are being persecuted around the world, that you would deliver them from their persecution. And Holy Father God, we pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for some of the families that have lost loved ones to the coronavirus plague pandemic. We found out this morning that in 2 weeks we will pass the plague pandemic we had in America like 100 years ago. So Lord, I do pray for the family and friends of Pennsylvania bar owner Mike Emanuel. I pray for the family and friends of Florida teacher Shannon Donovan. God help these families. I pray for the family and friends of Georgia police officer Bobby Williams. I pray for the family and friends of Missouri coach Chris Burnett. I pray for the family and friends of Oklahoma resident Lacey Hutchison. And we pray for the millions of individuals who are hurting this morning from because of the death of loved ones who have died because of the coronavirus plague pandemic. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ now, Lord, for prayer requests that have come in. This is a new prayer request here before me, but we pray for all of the old prayer requests and all of the people on that list. And Lord, thank you for the privilege to pray for many of them, all of them rather, many times. And Lord, I do pray for their salvation and spiritual, family, life, financial, material, protection, and provision blessings upon them. And Lord, hear and answer their prayers and hear and answer our prayers for them. And now, Lord, we pray for a few, as we have just prayed for thousands. Thank you for giving us this ministry. It is so important. We pray for Megan. Please bless her with another place to live. Heal her lungs of all fluid and help her to gain weight so she can be healthy again. We pray for Paul. Please fill her and anoint her to do everything by your Holy Spirit and use her to do your work and will. We pray for Karen. Please reunite and save her family. And Lord God in heaven, we pray for all of the people who have gotten saved through the ministry, all people who have rededicated their life through the ministry. Lord, help them all to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. We pray for the thousands who have done this and written in. We pray for the many who have not written in. And Lord, we pray that you will help them to grow in the faith and to stand strong in the faith. We pray for Gloria, Camille, Sakura, Alexis, and Peter. And Lord, we pray for the people who have recommitted their lives to Christ. We pray for Fuad, Karen, Joy, Helena, and Megan. We commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. If the Lord tarries his coming and we live, my brothers and my sisters, we'll see you next time. God bless you. Now, I'm getting ready to preach in a few minutes, so let all of the lost people know that you can, even if they're in the hospital. They may not be able, we may not be able to hear them, but they can hear me, and God can save their souls. It is so easy to get saved. A person on a ventilator can get saved, so invite family, friends, and foes. And I think we're going to be on TikTok today as well. So God bless you, dear friends. Until next time. Now, dear friend, if you are with us today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world." These are the words of Jesus Christ. God so loved the world. That means that if you are in this world, God loves you. That he gave his only begotten Son, God gave up his only begotten Son to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for your sins. He shed innocent blood on the cross for your sins because Jesus Christ never committed a sin in word, in thought, in attitude, or in deed. Yes, you can have a sinful attitude.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son up to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for our sins, however, our lies, our stealing, our lusting after people and things, coveting after people and things, what other people have, our disrespect and dishonor and disobedience and having bad attitudes towards our parents, our taking God's name in vain, and so many other sins. These are just five of the Ten Commandments. If we have broke one of them, we have broken the whole law according to the Bible. Jesus died for all of our wickedness and all of our sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, he was speaking of himself, that whosoever believeth in him, the word whosoever means anybody at any time, the word believeth means to trust in, to have faith in him, Jesus Christ, should not perish, that is, you will not go to hell, but have everlasting life. So, dear friend, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today so that you can be saved from the torments of hell. For the Bible teaches that once you die unsaved, if you die without believing in Christ, you will immediately wake up in the torments of hell. If you want to avoid that and wake up in heaven and in the arms of Jesus Christ, if you will, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ down here. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever, there's that word again, whosoever, anybody at any time, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. It's very simple to be saved, very easy to be saved, contrary to what people will tell you. You don't have to be in a church building to get saved. You don't have to join a church to get saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to get saved. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to walk down the aisle. You don't have to do anything to get saved but believe in Jesus Christ and call on his name and pray and ask him to save you. And he will do so, my beloved. If he did it for me, he'll do it for you. So believe in your heart. Only you can do that. That Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Pray with me the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, I acknowledge that I am a wicked sinner, and I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have indeed committed some of those sins that were mentioned earlier by the preacher. And Holy Father God, I admit that I deserve to go to hell just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my crimes and sins. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day. And Lord, I do not understand it all, but I thank you for it all. And I believe it all. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of my sins past and to truly repent of my sins present and to turn from my evil life and to follow you, Lord Jesus, in the new life. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just believed in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, that I just shared with you, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10, verse 9, and this is what the book title is based on. I am the door, Jesus Christ said. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.